This morning, we continue our conversation with New Hampshire Education Commissioner Frank Edelblou. It's been 2 months since the Republican from Wilton took office. He's a former state representative who also ran for governor last year. Edelblou and his wife homeschooled their 7 children, but his nomination faced fervent opposition over concerns about his lack of experience in public education. I asked him for his reaction to those concerns.
I mean, I appreciate that people were concerned about that, and I think much of the concern stemmed from the fact that they perceived, or at least it was characterized probably publicly, that a decision to home educate was a decision against something else. I don't see education as a zero-sum game. My decision to home educate my children reflects a passion for education, and I'm bringing that passion to my job right now. And part of that is the ability to listen and learn from the folks that are out on the front lines and who are doing the work now. And so I just appreciate the opportunity to get to spend time with them, learn from them, and work with them to craft policies that will hopefully allow us to continue to make that shift from an industrial age model into an information age model.
Is there something that you've seen in your travels so far around the state that has surprised you a bit or kind of turned your head a little bit from a position that you might have had before, or something that just kind of popped out to you that you thought, wow, I'd never thought of that before?
So what I am encouraged by and impressed by is, again, the creativity that we see around the state in terms of educators recognizing the need for the shift and trying to come up with creative options in order to get there. What we want more than anything else is for our students to get the best possible educational opportunities available to them. I can tell you a story about a charter school, and it's in one of our more economically challenged parts of the state. This particular charter school has 4 open seats available, and there were 259 students that applied. So those parents have recognized that education may be the only way out of generational poverty. And so the challenge that we have in the public education system is to say, okay, how come we don't have 259 folks lining up outside of our schools wanting to get in? And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that our public education systems are not only one of the choices for parents when they're making educational decisions for their students, but how about one of the best opportunities for them?
Do you consider yourself an advocate for public schools?
I consider myself an advocate for the education of all of our students is what I am an advocate for. And let me tell you how this kind of plays out. As I'm going into the schools, there are 2 themes that I engage all of the schools and the educators and the administration with. The first is when I come into the school, I say, tell me about parental voice in your system. And inevitably, when I say, can you tell me about parental voice, they begin to talk to me about parental engagement. They're like, oh, well, we have this barbecue or we have this other event and we draw parents out and we get a lot of people. I'm like, okay, parental engagement is very good, but parental voice is a little bit different. Parental voice is a circumstance where you actually engage the parents in some of the educational decisions for their students. And by doing that, you get them to put skin in the game. They have a vested interest in both the success of their child and the educational success of the school to which their child is going. And there are examples of that in the state that are working really well, and I just appreciate the work that those folks are doing. The other thing that I focus on is I say, talk to me about what we're doing to personalize the educational opportunities for students. You know, that is a philosophy that recognizes that students are different. They learn differently. They learn at different paces. They're coming into the system at different levels. And so how can we meet the student where they are and help them to grow?
Our conversation then turned to a controversial school choice bill making its way through the legislature. The Republican-backed measure, SB 193, would establish a school voucher-like program in the state, creating what are called education freedom savings accounts. Opponents say it would drain public schools of critical resources. Edelblou wanted to set the record straight on what he says the bill would actually do.
You know, so this is not a program in the current bill that's available to individuals who have already made a choice to go to a private school. It is only available to public school students and home-educated students. And the one exception to that is that for students who are entering the system for the first time, that they also would be eligible.
Well, in effect, it would take take public money and it would let families go to private schools with it, including religious and homeschoolers as well. So, I mean, it is, in effect, a voucher program, is it not?
Well, so, but again, I'm going to use the actual terms of the bill because it isn't a voucher. A voucher would actually function somewhat differently than this if you want to get down to the technicalities of it, because as that bill is crafted right now, the funding would go to a scholarship organization which would have an education freedom savings account that would then allow the parents to take that funding and use it towards the education of their students in a number of different ways. It is not limited to private schools and homeschools. They may, in fact, show up at another public school that is more, you know, amenable to them for whatever reason. That could be a school that they choose. So people are going to make educational choices that they believe are best for their children.
Homeschoolers in the state could get these funds. You homeschooled your children. Would you have wanted that money?
You know, I don't have. I've never been presented with it, but I would tell you that probably I would not accept that option.
Why?
Just because I'm again. This is how important the education is to my students and to my children. Is, you know, I want to basically have 100% control over what that looks like.
Well, Edelblue stressed that as commissioner, he doesn't take positions on legislation. He did publicly chastise the State Board of Education for taking a position against the bill at a recent meeting.
I'm disappointed in the action that you just took on 193 because I believe that was an opportunity to give parents voice in education. And there is much misinformation about that. But again, that's a decision that the board is making.
I asked Edelblue why he felt the need to speak out.
Sure, I was disappointed because I didn't think that that was a bill that the State Board of Education needed to weigh in on.
I'm a little confused there. You say you were disappointed.
Well, because if you look at how the board went through their deliberative process, and if you can, it's all on tape, you can go watch it. You know, they basically listened to one side of an argument and then formulated a deliberative position against that particular bill. And my comments to the chairman, you know, Raffio, that I just thought it was a better process if a group listens to both sides and then makes a decision in terms of how they go forward. So my disappointment was dealing more with process than with outcome.
Obviously, I'm sure there would be some kind of legal challenge when this comes to public funds eventually going in some cases to private schools and in some cases religious schools.
Yeah, so there may or may not be, but we have a new attorney general, and I'm sure that he'd be happy to weigh in on that.